think it's time for questions. So I think Martin and Peter will be looking after this. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now have about 20 minutes to take some questions from the audience, and I'd like to thank the fantastic information that's been shared with the panellists tonight. I'm sure that a lot of us have learned a lot how the refugee resettlement process works, what the different agencies do, how they collaborate so well together, and it's great to see a community like the Yazidi community be absorbed into the Armidale community so successfully. So we've got a roving mic here, and I'd just like to see a raise of hands for any questions. If you do have a question, could you please announce who you are and please aim your question at any one of the panelists that you'd like to learn more about. So do we have any questions, please, from the audience? Yes, Susan.
Okay. My voice will probably carry, but I do have a question.
Very outspoken. We know you're very outspoken, Susan. It's all good.
I do have a serious question, but I do also have to say, as this progressed, I became quite emotional because we seem to be living in a very broken world at this time, which has come upon us in so many ways. And I only wish the world could be having meetings like this where so many people are talking about important and good things, and I just feel quite emotional about that. But I what I want to say tonight is that in all of the various people talking, the ones that, you know, the government people, and God bless their cotton socks because we need them in every various permutation of our lives and in these scenarios, but the local people and the you know, Peter talking about Rotary's agricultural scenario, and also Lucinda talking about the sanctuary group, they're not the government people, they're the people of Armidale. And I'd like to ask, well, the Rotary, obviously, you've got to be in the Rotary Club to be a member, but I'd like to ask Lucinda how people, you know, do join the Sanctuary Group, which is a voluntary group moving in the community on these topics, and, you know, what is the membership, you know, do you pay a subscription, or what is the answer?
Thank you, Susie.
Hello?
It's nice and close.
Close. Thank you. Because it's not on, I fear. Okay. All right, thank you, Susie, for that question. As I said, Armidale Sanctuary is a voluntary organisation. It entirely consists of volunteers. People mostly join us, having heard of us, by word of mouth. We do participate in the monthly morning teas that Jane Davies, also from the Armidale Council, has for volunteer organisations. We hold an annual human rights lecture and hope to attract some interest and attention from that. We have about 240 members. People simply make an application and pay a one-off fee, and then you're on our books forever unless you ask to be removed. But of those 240, probably less than 100 are actually active volunteers at this moment. People, obviously, many of them are retired, and they have to stop those volunteering activities for a variety of reasons. So, as I said earlier, we do always have more demand than we can meet, so we would always welcome some new members. Most of us are in the older age bracket, but we're very pleased to have some of the younger students from UNE as well.
And I believe there are some sign-on sheets, there's some application forms sitting on the table at the front here.
And you can there are online as well.
And if I may be so bold, as current president of the Rotary Club of Armidale, we have 71 active members in our club. We've got some members of the other remaining Rotary Club here, Armidale Central Rotary Club. And probably everybody's aware that the Rotary Club doors are always open for new members. And both clubs try to have active programs of speakers and local and international projects that we volunteer in. So we have the Yazidi project. We also do a lot of work with PCYC, with the Backtrack Youth Works, and the Armidale Women's Shelter are our major local projects. So if anybody's interested in becoming involved with the Refugee Yazidi Agricultural Program and wish to consider joining Rotary, our doors are always open. So thanks.
Karen von Strokiesz, a leading light in Armidale Rotary, who played a central role in establishing the Yazidi Agricultural Project, was Paul Barrett, AO, and he grew up in Armidale. He graduated from the University of New England. He had a stellar career in the public service, and in retirement he came back to serve this community. And I think Paul Barrett, well, it's the third anniversary of his death tomorrow, and I think he would be so proud of the achievements of the Yazidi Farm Project and the fact that it's going to be expanded. Thank you.
Could I just add to what Karen had just said, is that the gardens are actually known as the Paul Barrett Memorial Garden, so they've been named in his honour.
Oh, sorry. Yes? Here's a microphone.
My name is Kerry.
Just nicely close to your mouth.
My name is Kerry Chick. The question I would like to ask is, what happens, or is there a fund for the next step? For example, our neighbours are Yazidi, and the children are extremely talented, and I know one would benefit from going to Naram for art classes, and I know one would benefit from guitar lessons. But they are expensive, and I just wondered if we had a fund that was available for the next step when the community starts to become Armidale citizens.
I'll half answer the question, and then Madden can answer the other half. I think the short answer is no. There's not a fund, but there is ways. So I guess, you know, if we're using these two as an example, I'm thinking immediately, NARAM, we've done some really lovely collaboration work in the past. And so.
I could pay for it and I would, sorry. But I feel that that's a one-off. And we need a fund, is what I'm saying.
There is options.
Yep, thank you.
The second one is looking at the stuff that is out there already. So one of my colleagues is up at the back here. He has a music group, and they meet within our office. And so there's no cost there. and I recently sent him a link to the regional community grants. So he's going to have a go at that to try and support them. So I guess what we want to make sure is that we're helping the community through things that are not just for this specialist, you know, for this specialised community as well. We're looking sort of, how do we fill those gaps within the existing mechanisms that, you know, that are here? Because that helps the Yazidi community to understand, you know, the wider resources that are available to everybody. So it's a bit of it's a tough balance. You've got to make sure that some of those supports are upfront and available when people need them. But at the same time, you want to make sure that people are understanding how to sort of resource themselves as well.
So we've still got to step in.
We do, yeah. So, Madam, did you want to add anything?
I think, as Tim said, yes, as I mentioned, like after 7 years, what is the exit program? What is it? And this is where about our program working with other key services to make sure that the community is sort of having more community capacity building projects where they can advocate themselves for reaching out funds from different government organizations. And that's where we will be working together to make sure that that kind of education is provided in a way that they can reach out to other government agencies, government grants through other services, which they can secure from, like what other regions and other communities are doing in other regions. So that's where the next step would be, yeah.
Thank you.
Just briefly, Radford Club of Armidale Central runs a very successful book fair, as you know. And if you make application to us, we grant money on a fairly regular basis. And the money is aimed to go right back into the Armidale community for the most part.
I think one of the, Kerry just has made a really good point, just very quickly, sorry, Esme, and that is that we need a central repository, if you like, for those sorts of requests. So I think a really good point's been made is maybe there needs to be a central point where those questions can be lodged, and somebody within that group can say, okay, go to John at the Central Rotary Club, we know how we can get funds, or there might be five suggestions as to how to do that. But I think that might be, Maria, a really good take out from tonight is to actually look at how there can be that community, if you like, a hub. Where can there be a central repository of that information and the ways in which to solve those problems?
Well, given the way I think, and talking to the future, I see your family a lot, and they're so mature, their English is wonderful. And I think that step to go into a class that you're on would be incredible, because it's the next step, socialising, mixing outside of the group. And anyway, that's the way I think. So I jump forward and think, what can we do?
We have a question that's been waiting for quite some time here, Peter, if we may.
Hello, I'm Paula Stevenson. Firstly, thank you to all the speakers who outlined their services in Armidale in helping refugees and other newcomers. Most of you, or actually all of you, were talking about some challenges that we might face. So my question is about, as a community member and also working with as a volunteer and with Sanctuary, and also helping with teaching English. My question's about, as a community member, how do we find out about how those challenges are going to be met? What are the cracks? I actually thought this evening might be more about that. So maybe I misunderstood what this evening was about, but I would have liked to be able to hear more about, looking forward, how we are going to look at the situations that need to be dealt with. Because I think many people in the community, people sitting here, probably have lots of ideas. I know that I do. So anyone on the panel can answer.
This one's just waiting.
I think as far as challenges, it's very easy to look at things through a deficit lens. We all need something, we need more of something or less of something. But I think on the balance of averages, the community is doing incredibly well. And if I look at what the immediate upfront needs for the Yazidi community are, I would say that they're exactly the same as any member of Armidale for the most part. So, you know, things like access to GPs, transport to specialist appointments, they're existing challenges for everybody. And I think we've sort of arrived at this point now where if a lot of the challenges for this community are similar to the wider community, then we're in a really good place to generally advocate for those needs for everybody. So there's a strong sort of theory that a refugee settlement in a new location should bring more wealth as opposed to more challenges to the community. And I think we've hit that stride, because Armidale being a settlement location provides us with more opportunities to advocate for some of the needs for the wider community through different avenues now. And so that, I guess, you know, it enhances the opportunities for anybody here in Armidale, not just for the community. Now, I don't want to discount that individual people and families have needs, but I think there's strong mechanisms to support a lot of those needs. And a lot of the more systemic ones that all services are facing now are, you know, they're challenges that they're facing, anybody that a support service is facing. So I don't know if that's an answer to your question or not.
Just very quickly, one of the things we're finding is incremental benefits that are happening within the community. And the RILA program that I mentioned earlier with Bassam, who the most recent graduate, he wants to help the community. He wants to get more people into Rotary leadership programs. He wants us to run 4 programs a year. You know, where's the funding going to come from? But we'll sort that out. But there's a classic case of someone coming back into the community wanting to help their own community. So you'll have that spreading. It's like the pebble in the water. Those concentric rings will move out as we develop in the community. So there's great hope that small steps, you know, from small steps, big steps, and those things, so it'll work. Intervention.
Thanks for the question. And also, like, as we mentioned, the needs of the community, like this also, as Steve mentioned in his speech, like the family renewal, because the family been separated in 5 different countries now, the Yazidi families, like some lives in Turkey, some in Germany, and some in the camps for 11 years now in their own country, and they have no choice like to be out of that country. And also, we need as a Yazidi community the support from all of you and all the Israeli community and the government to increase the intake for the Yazidi community, the refuge for the Yazidi community to come and to live in peace and safe country that we feel now. Thanks for that. And maybe Astrid, you have this question.
Finally.
Sorry.
It's all right, thank you. My name's Astrid Knirsch, and I've worked with Sanctuary for over 5 years now, and been one of the 2 volunteer coordinators for most of that time. I just wanted to add something to Kerry Chick's question. I have been trying for many years now to tell volunteers they all are entitled to the New South Wales Services Kids Voucher for arts or sport activity. It may not cover the whole amount of money, but twice a year they're entitled to a kids voucher. And it's the Service New South Wales office down in Russell Street who are extremely helpful, but you have to get the parent to go with you, and they do it online. And so I've been very frustrated that how few people have actually made use of it, and the Yazidi community
My family, I've been looking after for many years now. I had to keep reminding them, because this is no criticism. Sometimes it's, you know, certain things like swimming lessons have been offered free and to start with, but not anymore. And so they have to get used to that these things have to be paid for. And you know, and so that's a really valuable thing to get the.
My neighbour being an article
prize. No, so I just wanted to add to that, and any volunteer who's here to please make use of that for sports activity, and for arts activities. That's one thing. Sorry, but I do have a question, if I may. I just wanted to also, you know, see what Tim is saying about the community now having been so well established that they also need to become sort of independent onto the same level as every other Armidale person is in their challenges. However, we still get new families who start from scratch, and sometimes they're extremely traumatized families. And I have been involved with one family that is so dysfunctional and traumatized that it exceeds all normal. So I'm wondering, is this, in this particular case, the expectations or the help that is, the assistance that is required from services like SSI exceeds the normal 12 to 18 months. I've just written a letter recently, you probably are aware of it, about a particular family being exited after 15 months, and I'm really worried about that. Is there any chance that in exceptional circumstances, services like SSI can provide extended service?
The short answer is yes. The challenge is that, I guess, and so I think I know which family you're talking about, and I just spoke to a case manager today about how we consider this. The question has to be, what additional benefit are we going to provide in that extra, say, 3 months? Because if somebody is well connected to the services that can provide that long-term support, then potentially there isn't a great deal more benefit that ongoing engagement provides, because the more people, you know, the more cooks you have spoil the broth. If you've got too many services involved, too many people helping, a lot of the time that masks the initial needs of somebody, and then we have this really awkward situation where a lot of services step out at once. And so what's probably more important is not necessarily delaying the exit, but making sure that the existing services that are connected to the family continue to do so, because we can't extend forever. I'm not saying it's not a never, but so that's where SETS providers being able to support families for up to 7 years, that's a really crucial component. We did an interesting hypothetical within our HSBN meetings, and we did it in all of our locations, and it was unpacking a complex family situation and how support services exist within all of those regions to wrap around a family. And so the most interesting thing that came out of looking at all of the different locations is that we talk about the challenges in a regional location, not having enough of this and not having enough of that. But the take-home message that I actually received is that in Sydney, someone would say, oh, well, I guess in theory, we'd probably assume there was XYZ service in that location. We'd probably refer them to that. When you got to a smaller location, it was a conversation about, oh, well, I know Johnny down at this service, and I'd make sure that Johnny knew that I was exiting this family and they were going to... So I guess there's really close connections within a small town, and your advocacy for the family right now, I mean, is a really strong example of exactly that in practice. The other key benefit or take home was the importance of a GP in that journey, and I guess that's not a solution, and we don't have a solution to that one, but it was an interesting take home across all locations that that GP provided probably one of the only consistent links and supports for families in any location.
Thanks very much, Tim. We've got one question left here. No, sorry, this gentleman's been waiting, but also just a clarification, I've just had the question posed to me, who funds SSI, please?
So we're funded by the Department of Home Affairs.
Yep, thank you.
Hi, my name's Ralph Hunt. I've had a lot to do with a lot of different Azizi families. And I'm sorry, I'd like to know if any of your organizations offer specific family counseling and training programs for the parents of Azizi families. Because if one thing I do see over and over is that the children learn very good English very quickly. The parents have a hell of a time learning English. The children dominate the parents, as anybody who's had teenage kids would know, without the problems of being a refugee. And I wonder how much help those people are getting here.
Yes, I'm happy to answer that one for you. New England Family Support does provide parenting programs, and given that we've just been funded by Home Affairs as a settlement engagement and transition program, our team leader casework, Mr. Kai Single, and I have already had conversations about how we're going to deliver parenting programs and support. So if you'd like to refer a family to us, it's referrals@familysupport.org.au, and please feel free to do so.
One very last question.
One question, the statement. I actually also work at STARTS. I'm Salam's, I'm manager of Salam's program. My name is Yasmina. I have worked at STARTS for 30 years. Came to Australia as a refugee from Bosnia myself, and I'm also the president of the Refugee Council of Australia. So what I was going to say, I mean, we've heard today about needs of Yazidi community from a lot of people who were not Yazidi, apart from Salam. So I think maybe the next step to this conversation could be to actually have a conversation that brings Yazidi and non-Yazidi community members together, to actually talk about the needs, which might be specific to the community, but it might be something that's relevant to everyone here. And to actually have that chat, and then maybe, I think you were suggesting some sort of mapping of those needs. And solution, finding solutions together as a community of Armidale that involves both Yazidi and non-Yazidi people. A bit of asset mapping, map your assets. You've got some great things here. Like, this is a beautiful place. And there's so many beautiful people here, so many assets, so much that both communities have to bring to the table. And if people come together like that, then solutions can be found. And so that's what I'm thinking. I think that all I'm doing is proposing the next step. We actually have a conversation. And then you have asset mapping, look at the needs, and figure out how to solve them together. And some of those needs might be the same as for everyone, as Tim says. Some of those needs are very specific. Settlement does not stop. I've been here for 30 years. When Ukraine happened, it was like Bosnia happened all over again. I cried, I was deeply traumatized. And it set me back. I'm a trained social worker. I've achieved so much, and yet 30 years later, it still hits you. And so settlement in theory, according to government, settlement stops at some stage, and we all become the same. But some things we carry with us for a very, very long time. And I think those things we need to see in each other. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
That brings us to the end of our question time, but I'm sure that the panellists are willing to hang around for a little bit if anybody's got some burning questions they would like to ask any individual. Look, it's my pleasant duty now to thank the panellists for their time. So we thank Salam Caro, Madame Narayama, Peter Lloyd, Lucinda Wright, Anne Ricks and Tim Gray for their time and their dedication and their insights into the Yazidi issue and how the community is going in the last 5 to 8 years. So please help join me in thanking our panellists this evening. And I'll now pass on to the
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, you're on.
I'm on? Okay. Look, I came to Australia as a post-war refugee, and at that time all the men had to work for the government for 2 years. The women and children were separated off and dumped in migrant camps, and that, you know, I'm just so envious of the amount of support that the Yazidi community is getting here in Armidale, not only from the official organisations, but also from all the community organisations, all the people who, you know, have befriended Yazidi families and helped out in some way. And, you know, we've come a long way in Australia, and I think we need to celebrate that journey about the fact that we have moved so far along. And as for the trauma, yes, you never get over it. And our Yazidi families, that first generation that has come here relocated to a completely different culture, they will never get over it, right? They will never get over it. But they'll put it into the back of their minds, and they'll try to keep their language alive, and they'll try to keep aspects of their culture alive. And they hope that some of it will be passed on to their children. But, you know, my experience with refugees that came out at my time is that a lot of the children rejected the culture of their parents, rejected the language, because they just wanted to be Australians. But then later on, when they had children of their own, they then rediscovered, you know, this heritage, this background. So thank you very much, people of Armidale. Honestly, you know, thank you, audience. I know that it's been a very, I was going to say interesting, but it's not interesting. It's educational for most of us to have another culture coming in with a resettlement program. All right, that's enough from me. So you'll be able to go to 2RMFM and listen to the podcast. And it's always interesting to go back over some of the information that you sort of miss in that first go. And if you're ever interested in joining our group, we do have a Friday update every week, and all you have to do is send an email to newenglandvisions2030@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the mailing list. There's no charge or anything like that, and I'd love you to join. Thank you. Bye-bye.